And welcome to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strausser. Today is Thursday, September 19th, and we have a great show lined up in store for you today. We'll talk to Kathy Buell about changes at Night Moods. I can't wait to talk about Night Moods. We'll preview Sunday's concert dance with Hot Club of Cowtown guitarist Whit Smith. We'll talk to Bill Merck about Friday's Poetry Slam. William Todd Hunt will be here with an update on Opera to Go. And, as with every Thursday, we'll talk to Nancy DeCherney with Arts Up, Writer's Almanac, and more on KTOO Juno Afternoon.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. In Canada, elders, youth, and First Nations leaders were among speakers to open Reconciliation Week in Vancouver, British Columbia. The event is an opportunity for former Indian residential school students to share their experiences with the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations, Sean Atleo, told the crowd Wednesday, reconciliation includes truth-telling by survivors and the Canadian government. Atleo pointed to the recent uncovering of nutritional experiments conducted on students and says there are likely more abuses to come to light.
This is why we are urging and pressing the government to ensure all documents related to the residential schools are provided to the Truth and Reconciliation Commission so that it can do its important work.
Atleo says the commission is important in helping understand the history of Indian residential schools, and he says knowing the history is part of healing. The reconciliation event began earlier this week with a canoe gathering. Hundreds of First Nations people paddled down a Vancouver Creek. Dan Karpinchuk has more on that event.
It was a traditional ceremony and part of the TRC events taking place in Vancouver. The paddlers were also joined by the provincial Aboriginal Relations Minister. The week was organized by Reconciliation Canada, set up by the Indian Residential School Survivors Society. Chief Robert Joseph is with Reconciliation Canada.
It's absolutely phenomenal. What goes through my mind is that people really do care, and that Aboriginal people, survivors, really want to find a new way forward, something that gets us moving in a direction of hope and inspiration.
Joseph was one of the tens of thousands of Native children taken from their homes between the 1870s and the mid-1900s and subjected to years of physical, sexual, and emotional abuse. Native children were also stripped of their language and culture. The schools were funded by the Canadian government and run by churches. The schools were run across Canada for more than 120 years. Truth and reconciliation hearings will take place in the city over the next few days. It's part of the healing process in which victims and their families can tell their stories. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
U.S. senators are examining wildlife management authority in the state of Alaska under the Alaska National Interest Lands Act and the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. A hearing was held by the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources this morning in Washington, D.C. Tribal, federal, and state officials testified. The hearing focused on subsistence priorities of Alaska Native people. The first International Women's Earth and Climate Summit is set to take place in New York. The four-day summit begins Friday with female leaders from around the world to address climate change and draft an action agenda. Sally Rainey is a co-organizer of the event.
Collaboration is now required of humanity that has never been experienced. And women are one half of the world's population. We're gathering from the global south and the global north, from businesses to indigenous leaders, to decision makers, to unite our voices in solidarity, to mobilize in political, economic, and social action, to let the world know that there's too much at stake to stand by or do little or nothing.
Carmen Capriles is a participant from Bolivia.
We have seen that climate change is affecting mainly small communities and indigenous communities, and how the production patterns have changed in the last years, and which is resulting in a migration from men to the cities, leaving behind old people, children, and especially women to face this hazard of climate change.
Native American women are also sharing their ideas at the event. On this day in 2004, Lummi people presented totem poles to the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. A ceremony was held to support the families of the people who died there during the September 11, 2001 attacks. The two upright 15-foot poles named Liberty and Freedom feature bears. The crossbar titled Sovereignty join the poles together and feature eagles. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, and by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser. It's Thursday, September 19th, and my first guest in the studio today is Kathy Buell from Night Moods. Hi, welcome, Kathy.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming. So for people that don't know, because we're, you know, you wanted to talk to us about some changes at Night Moods, and for people who don't know actually what Night Moods is, can you give us kind of what's been the history of Night Moods so thus far for people who don't know?
The history of Night Moods, we started over 20 years ago, and it was a lingerie store, a real nice boutique lingerie store, and we have slowly turned it into a party store.
What, any kind of party?
All kinds of parties. We even have bachelorette stuff, so yes.
Oh, great. And so what was, you know, 20 years ago you opened the store. What was the impetus for opening the store?
20 years ago, my husband was in the Army, and we moved to Texas, and I decided that when he got out of the Army, when we moved back to Juneau, I wanted to open a lingerie store because there wasn't one. And that was the emphasis, and it started, and it was great, and...
And so as far as party supplies, do you still do lingerie? And
we are in the process of reordering the lingerie because we've done remodeling this past year and it's taken longer than it should have. We are reordering because we didn't want to get it dirty. So before Christmas, there will be more lingerie in the store. Right now, there's very little.
Sure. And where is your store located for those people who don't know?
9342 Glacier Highway, right next door to Frame Your Art and Juno's Pizza. We're in the same building.
Okay. And so what are kind of the new changes that are happening there?
Well, some of the new changes are like the candy bouquet that I brought you guys today.
I'm looking at it, and it's beautiful and has lots of candy on it, and that's great.
We can make them small. We can make them really big. It depends on what you want. We do have some that you can just come in, and I need that one right there. Or you can have them custom made. Say K2 wanted to do... cup, you know how you guys have your cups and you wanted to give them to some of your best contributors or to the board or whatever you wanted to, you could bring me those cups and I could do the candy bouquets in those. And then we can also deliver them.
Oh, great. So it's full on delivery then.
Mm-hmm. And they're great for birthdays, anniversaries, just because, job promotion, you know, Boss's Day, which is coming up.
Yeah. So something else that I've noticed at most major events lately, I mean, it may be in the last couple of years, is actually the balloons.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of balloons do you do? And
we do from your basic balloon all the way to fun and whimsical sculptures, which you may have seen some of those as well. We've made an 11-foot beer bottle for Alaska Brewery. Andy loved that. we have every year, if you go to DIPAC, we do a 7-foot salmon for them, and they keep it for like 3 weeks. They last that long. But we do birthdays for special events. We do them for prom. We do them for birthdays. We can do them air-filled, helium-filled, you name it. And we try really hard to work within your budget.
Great. And are you the balloon designer?
I am.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. And so what do you mainly work off of, photos, and what's the frame for it?
Framing is different depending on how big the item is. Sometimes we don't use framing. We just build it. Sometimes there is a lot of heavy framing behind it. So it depends on what it is that
what
you want.
What the shape, of course. Of course. Mm-hmm. So what are the other new things coming
the
up?
The other fun thing that we're doing is costume rentals. We have, for the last year and a half, had costumes in the store. Most of them were used. Some of them were new. But people have seen them and have bought costumes all year long, but they've always asked, can I just rent this? I was a little leery about doing that because I haven't ever done it before. But we're dumping or diving off the deep end, and we're going to do it. We are now starting costume rentals at the store. So you can come and get whatever you, well, of course, we have to have it in stock. You know, but get your costume and rent it for the day or rent it for the week, and you don't have to, what am I going to do with this after I'm done?
Right, right. So what are some of the hits do you think will be for this upcoming Halloween season? What are the hottest costumes?
Oh, that's kind of a toughie. I don't know if I have all the hottest ones. With the new Superman movie out, there's going to be, that's probably going to be a big one.
Research, yes.
Yeah. So
some costumes never go away, right?
Some don't. But we do have some military costumes, and we have medical costumes, and every day we're bringing in more costumes for it. So that the variety is growing, and we'll have them year-round. So if you have a play that you're in, a school presentation, whatever the event, maybe it's a party at one of the bars downtown, we're going to start having the costumes for those.
Great. So you've got candy bouquets. Mm-hmm. You've got costume rentals.
And with the costume rentals, which is another fun thing, a lot of people now at parties are doing photo booths. And, I mean, even K2 does them at your events. I know because I've made the backgrounds for them. So we've also put together a really nice big trunk full of costumes or, you know, hats and mustaches and glasses and other real fun accessories. We've put it all into one trunk, and for $30 you can rent it, take it to your event, and then bring it back. And you don't have to pay the $200, $300 for everything that's in there.
Right, so you can actually make fun photos with this,
right.
This yeah. chest of delights.
Fun
yeah.
stuff, yeah. And oh, cool. Some of the props even you can write on them. They're little chalkboards, and you know, what happens in Juno stays in Juno, or you know, no, Mom, I'm not pregnant. You know, whatever you want to write on it, you can write that on there. So, and nice. A lot of fun.
Nice. And you mentioned that you're actually changing your name. Is that correct?
We are. We're going by Balloons by Night Moons.
Okay. And is most of your business from balloons?
Because we brought balloons in about 6.5-7 years ago, and the balloons have really started being the priority that customers are wanting. So that's where we're going. And we're still really attached to the name Night Mood, so we don't want to get that out of there because a lot of people have known us. Well, I got my balloons from Night Moods. Well, I don't want people to think that we've sold the store and somebody else is now doing it if we have a new name. So we're just adding to it.
Great. Well, this candy bouquet is beautiful, and I know, you know, as holidays are approaching, especially Halloween, right?
Well, Halloween, but they're good for any reason. I mean, great hostess gift if you're going to a Halloween party or Thanksgiving or Christmas. There's lots of reasons you could give them to anybody. And if you have a boss like I used to have, who I love to death, but you know the new Snickers commercials where the person's just a grumpy beast and not himself? And then his friend or her friend hands him a Snickers bar, and all of a sudden he's back to where he was. Well, this was my boss. I always had Snickers on my desk for him, and I'd throw them at him when he would get that way. And he would turn back to normal. But you can get them all in Snickers and give them to your boss and say, love you,
nice.
You know, or whatever. Even if your boss is diabetic or your friend is diabetic, we can make them insure-free. Candies, or we can do them all in Rice Krispie treats, or we can do them all in granola bars, or you know, whatever you want, we can do it with them.
That sounds great. Is there a website or a number to contact?
There is. It's real easy. JunosBestBalloons.com.
Easy enough.
Yeah. And our phone number is 523-1099.
Great. Anything else you want to tell the Juno audience here about the new changes at Night Moves?
Well, just come in and check us out, and kids are always welcome in our store. They always have been, and they always will be. So bring your kids. And speaking of kids, we do have a lot of kids' costumes from infant up
now.
So
super.
And a lot of them are the warm ones.
Nice.
That you can
for cold trick-or-treating.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much, Kathy, for coming
Thank
in
you.
To talk to us.
Can you brush his shoes? Stand before.
That's Van Morrison with a little Wild Night. And I'm lucky to have on the phone with me Whit Smith from Hot Club of Cowtown playing this Sunday. Hi, Whit. How are you?
Hi, Shauna. Thanks for calling. Yes. Great.
Good. So you all are hitting Juneau this fine Sunday, but you're on a bit of an Alaskan tour, yeah?
I'd say so, yeah. 11 shows in 14 days.
Oh, really? Wow. So where have you been playing?
We've been to Fairbanks and Keeley and Delta Junction and Talkeetna. So tonight's Anchorage. And, there'll be Kodiak and Skagway and Petersburg. And I don't want to miss anyone, Haynes. we're getting around. It's pretty great.
Yeah, awesome. So how did Hot Club of Cowtown, because you've been to Juneau here before, how did you all get connected with Alaska?
I want to say, there's a gal named Ann Bieberman in, Fairbanks, and she works closely with, a Rasmussen organization and also the Alaskan Arts Council. And I think she has had a lot to do with us, coming here. I mean, we've been to Juneau Folk Festival, and, we've done, a show years ago back in, Fairbanks at the university, but, yeah, this is a more extensive, real, in-depth tour of Alaska. So it's a treat for us. I'm not always sure how these happen, but I'm just thank my lucky stars when they do.
That they actually do, right. And so this this tour is actually in support of Rendezvous in Rhythm. It's a new album that came out in May. And I was wondering if you could just talk a little bit about the album.
Sure. Rendezvous in Rhythm is our we play swing and, you know, some people think we're playing bluegrass half the time, and we play a little bit of jazz and some gypsy music. And, you know, it's I think we play, there's a guitar and a violin and a string bass. Everyone sings, and we do a lot of improvising as well as, you know, just making a lot of racket. So we played a lot of Western swing, and we'd made a Western swing just a CD for sort of our tribute to Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys. And the other side of our influence and our style is more like the gypsy style of Django Reinhardt and Stephen Grappelli, the Hot Club of France. So the last record we made was more of a nod to them, all acoustic and just the swing stuff. And so our shows are still a mix of of everything we like to play. We'll play fiddle tunes and hoedowns and standards and songs we write, of course, that are along those, you know, could be either one of those styles. So technically we're touring in support of Rendezvous and Rhythm, but man, we can't help it. We play everything we feel like and kind of try to bend the show in the direction of however the audience is feeling. If they respond to fiddle tunes, we'll play more fiddle tunes. If they like the swing stuff, we go that direction.
Great. Yeah, it's so much fun. We're really, Juno's pretty excited to have you all here for sure. And so as far as the, you said that you're, you know, you've got a, you have a guitar player, you have a bass player, and then you have a fiddle player. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about Jake and Alana.
Sure. Well, Jake Irwin plays the stand-up bass, and he's kind of a force of nature. He plays, he plays it very percussively. It's called, a lot of people refer to it as slap bass.
Mm-hmm.
It's going babada 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 babada. And a lot of people are looking around for the drums. So there's no drums up there. It's just, it's all him. And he comes from Oklahoma, so he's sort of our authentic ringer. And and he's been in the band since 2000 or 2001, so he's the new guy.
Right.
We like to tease him. Alana plays fiddle and violin. She has a classical background, but she always was, you know, liked fiddle tunes, and I think she found swing and Western swing and maybe more to her taste, since it, you know, encouraged you know, your own in take on things. That I don't think she felt as restricted as the classical field may have, you know, a career in classical music may have had for her. So she took to the improv and putting your own spin on things. So she's from Kansas. Everyone's from Texas as a band. We all lived down there since 1997.
Mm-hmm.
But she's from Kansas. I'm from the Northeast. And as the band, as a trio, we just, I don't know, it's got good chemistry, so we keep at it.
So you formed in 1997, is that correct?
Yeah, I actually met Alana in 94, and we played in another band together, 11-piece Western swing band.
Oh, wow.
And then she moved out west and started making a living playing country music, and so I thought that sounded pretty appealing, just to make your living playing music. And so I followed her out there, and we started what became the Hot Club of Cowtown. And pretty soon afterwards, we were touring a lot and had an agent and a record deal. So we've made 8 records, I think, over the last bunch of years.
That's great. That's great. And I read an article, I think online somewhere, but it was pretty interesting. There was a time maybe 2004 kind of to 2008 where you all did some other adventures, other work there?
Yeah, for about a year, there was a hiatus. It depends on what story you want to, you know, go in. Some people say there's a big breakup. I don't know a band like us can break up. The Rolling Stones could break up. We can't really break up, though. I hope they don't break up, however.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yes, Alana played with Bob Dylan for a while, on the road for a bit, and I want to say it was 2005,
mm-hmm.
maybe 2006. I'm a little sketchy there. I think it's 2005. But by somewhere in 2006, I was often playing in her band, and then Jake started playing in her band, and the next thing we knew, we're doing tours, just the three of us again. And it was like, well, we should just call this Hot Club at Cowtown, because every time they go to sell the show, they're like members of Hot Club, et cetera, et cetera. And so we just started Hot Club at Cowtown again.
Oh, nice. Well, people are very happy that you did.
Yeah.
So do you how long is this tour lasting? Are you going to other places besides Alaska for this kind of leg of it? Or?
Well, this is about 2 weeks long, and then throughout October, we are around the lower 48. We're quite a bit in New Mexico, some stuff in California, and some stuff out in Kentucky and places like that, Arkansas. And then by the end of October and for 3 weeks, we go on tour in England. We go every year once or twice. We do very well over there. And so that's kind of a treat, but they'll work us to the bone. I think we're there for 21 days and do 18 shows.
Oh, wow.
It's never the same town. So I've driven past Stonehenge twice, and they wouldn't let me out of the car to go look at it one time.
Yeah, you got to get to sound check, right?
Yeah, right? Something like that.
Something like that. Well, it's great. So the show this Saturday, I know you talked just a little bit about, feeling out the crowd and what they like to play, but what are your favorite things to play, and what do you think you'll kind of bring on that night, I guess, depending on... Yeah.
Well, it just depends on the audience. If they respond a lot to faster things or Western things, we play those. And if they're really getting into, if they applaud and request, we always encourage requests. So people might be yelling out Stardust or something. And so we'll play some ballads or we'll play more swing songs. That's a tough one to answer because it really depends night by night on the audience. We have a quite a large repertoire. I do remember, if it's anything like one time we played in Juneau, and the promoter had taken us out for lunch, and I gorged myself on fresh seafood, and I don't know if it was the seafood, the creme brulee, or the espresso, or what, but an hour later, I was on the floor, very ill, I was incapacitated. I probably can't go into detail on the radio, but just...
We can
gather
drift,
from
yeah.
what I mentioned.
Yeah.
And so come 7 o'clock at night or whatever, there was no way I was going to go anywhere. I was like in my underwear on the bathroom floor. I wasn't going anywhere. I was terrible condition. And Alana's like, no, you have to go. You have to go. You just simply, we're going to put clothes on you and drag you on there. You sit on the stage and be as sick as you like. No one gets paid if you don't show up. So we enter this. They stuck me in some sweatpants or something, and they dragged me to the place. And I can barely remember the trip over. However, we get to the airplane hangar, I think it might have been, and it was people going mad, and it was just full of people, and. We cut a line through the crowd and get up on the stage. They put me on a chair. They hand me my guitar. Someone had set up my amplifier already. And they just said, go. And the people were so excited and so responsive that I started to play. And I just immediately, it was like a televangelistic, experience. Just, phew! And I was standing on my feet and I was playing guitar and singing. I was fine. Like within a song and a half, I was totally cured.
It's funny how music can do that.
It was great. I'll never forget it. I've told that story before because it's true, and it's just it was an unusual experience, but great.
Well, that's very funny. Well, hopefully that doesn't happen to you this weekend. So it's a hot.
No, I'm staying away from oysters anyhow.
Yeah, it's the creme brulee actually.
It was the creme brulee.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for talking with us. Your show's Sunday at 7:30 here at Centennial Hall. Juno's really excited about it. We're just really happy to have you all come to town. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Shauna, thank you very much. Yes, thank you, everyone.
Great. And here is Stardust from Hot Club of Cowtown.
Oh, nice one.
And that's Hot Club of Cowtown playing this Sunday. You can check out all sorts of information about their tour, their album, everything that they've got going on hotclubofcowtown.com. And, yeah, check them out on Sunday. And in the studio with me, hi.
Hi, Shona.
I have William Todd Hunt here to talk to us about Opera to Go. It's nice to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, so Opera to Go. What's going?
Well, actually, lots of things. And I was thinking, okay, what are we going to talk about? And I was driving here. And I think Opera to Go is something to talk about. But there's lots more that I'm doing right now that I think we should talk about as well.
You're kind of a busy dude.
I'm kind of a busy dude. But that's okay because it enriches your lives. So actually, the first thing happening isn't even an Opera to Go event. It is Juno Lyric Opera.
Oh,
huge distinction there.
Yes,
but I am conducting their La Traviata that's coming up not this weekend, but the following weekend, the 28th and 29th, Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 3 at Juno Douglas High School.
Yeah,
we're doing all of Traviata. So it's a big work. It's something that we had talked about, you know, doing fully staged and everything like that. And we're working through the budget, and it's like, yeah, this is just too big to do the whole thing. But, you know, we all really wanted to do it. So we're paring it down and have it orchestra and chorus on stage with the principals out front doing the action, you know, in very limited scenic, although there are costumes. So, yeah, it's semi-staged.
Oh, well,
is what
cool.
We're calling it.
Yeah,
and it's really nice, and it's going to be a bunch of people involved. I was trying to actually count as we were going over. I think there might be 80 people on stage at any given time. It's kind of ridiculous.
As far as the chorus and the orchestra.
Yeah,
there's the
chorus, the orchestra, the principals, and an offstage band.
There's an offstage band?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, isn't that something? Because there's a party scene. And, of course, as every party, you know, in an opera has to have, another room that's offstage that has a dance band in it.
Well, you know, I didn't
and
know
so
that.
It plays
I love
along, and all the guests go, ooh, let's go dance. And they go into the other room, and while more folks have a scene on stage with that music as sort of the background in the distance. It's a really neat effect, and Verdi used it a number of times in different operas, and so that's, yeah, kind of cool.
I love that.
But it creates, you know, certain challenges, which we will overcome, because now we've got, heck, like over a week?
Yeah, you've got loads of time.
Like 9 days.
It's a universe in production time, right?
Yeah, and
right?
Then, so after Traviata, the Juno Symphony is 2 weeks after that. I want to say the 12th and 13th, something like that. And I'm conducting those concerts, doing Tchaikovsky 5 and some scenes from Mussorgsky's Boris Godunov with David Miller as the soloist.
Cool.
So that's, going to be a very very fun concert. Tchaikovsky's really... he was sort of my gateway composer into classical music.
Your gateway drug?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got that reference. because, you know, I was a teenager, and it's really angsty and over-the-top and hard-on-the-sleeve music and that really spoke to me at the time. And it still does,
obviously. Still does for me, yeah.
I'm like, wow, I love this stuff. But, yeah, so after that, boy, then Opera to Go, we're doing a Melga Chamber Orchestra concert in November. It's the weekend before Thanksgiving.
I went to my first Melga Chamber concert last year, mm-hmm. I have to admit, and it was one of the most beautiful experiences
I've ever had. At Northern Light Church.
It's
yeah, and we're
just
doing
so
that
lovely.
Again. Yeah, we did last year the Schubert Unfinished Symphony, which is just gorgeous. And you know that's the church, the Northern Light Church, is so warm and everybody's so close and it's immediate. Yeah, I'd really like... we barely fit the orchestra up there, but that's part of the excitement. But I'm glad you had a good time.
Yeah,
we're actually doing a symphony by a composer named Méhul, who is a contemporary of Beethoven that nobody knows.
Yeah, I was going to say, who's that?
Yeah, nobody knows that. Yeah, he's a contemporary of Beethoven who lived in France, and a lot of people, you know, and like Mozart and Beethoven and those guys kind of overshadowed everybody else, at least... you know, in the progression of history, when we're looking back and going, oh, yeah, that was Beethoven's time instead. So, you know, a really great symphony that is neglected just because that repertoire isn't something that's done all that much. And that's one of the things the Melga Chamber Orchestra, which is part of Opera to Go, tries to do, is to get some of that kind of stuff out into the open. Actually on that concert, too, this is kind of cool. Lisa Ebius, the violinist, is going to be playing a concerto of sorts of Vaughan Williams, The Lark Ascending, which is beautiful, like lusciously beautiful piece. So really looking forward to that. Oh, and this is so exciting. I'm just like reliving the planning of the season right now.
I love
Tyree Peeney's a composer in town. He's been here for a couple of years, maybe three now, taking over the Student Symphony. He's a composer, and he's writing a piece for electric cello and chamber orchestra. Which...
he's way too much of an overachiever. I mean, in the best way.
In the best way. Yeah.
Is he really? Mm-hmm. Because I think it's different from the piece that was at their last chamber concert, because didn't he have a couple pieces in that, too?
No, that was Rory. Is that what you mean?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I feel like I saw some Tyree's work.
Oh, at the I was thinking the Amalga concert, but no, you're right. The Juno Symphony's Symphony Showcase.
Showcase.
Yeah, he did have a piece or two on mm-hmm. that one. Yeah,
cool.
Totally. Which was, a really beautiful piece and one that made me think, yeah, a cellist. I knew he had gotten an electric cello. I'm like, whoa, the possibilities there are just completely endless.
Yeah,
and so
plug it in, it's a whole new world.
Right, yeah, you get some effects pedals and who knows it's going to come out.
Nice.
Yeah, but the big thing for Opera to Go this year is Rory Stitt's premiere, which is going to be in late February.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about that, and maybe mm-hmm. you can give some background on Rory Stitt as well.
Yeah, sure. Well, Rory, of course, is a Juno homegrown guy who he's living in Portland right now. But he started off, you know, of course, as a rock and roll guy. We saw him on stage at Perseverance numerous times. So very theatrically minded and also equally musically minded. And I worked on his Requiem that he did. Well, he revised and had performed in, I want to say, 2007, 2008, something like that. And that was really the first time I had worked with him. And I thought, wow, this is really good stuff. I mean, a lot of times, you know, crossover kind of doesn't really work. It tries to be too many different things. But his music comes at it from such an interior place, from the heart. And it really fits well. And I thought, wow, this guy needs to write a children's opera. And so I said, so what do you think? You know, we can talk about librettists and maybe find somebody to pull up this together story. And almost immediately he's like, I know what this is going to be about. I'm going to write the libretto. And here we are, like five some years later, with a really wonderful piece that's not quite done yet, but it's almost. You know, it's in late revisions and early orchestration phase right now.
So we can see, we can find more information about that. Is there a website that people
can
check out?
Yeah, so Opera2Go is opera2go.net.
Yeah. Easy enough. And Traviata, can you tell us when again?
Sure, yeah. So it's not this Saturday and Sunday, but the following Saturday and Sunday, 7:30 on Saturday, 3 o'clock on Sunday at JDHS. Tickets available at the normal locations, the bookstores and at the Jack and at the door, if there's any left.
Yeah,
it'll
like
be sung
that.
In Italian, but we'll have super titles as well, so you can follow along. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, Todd, thanks so much. You've always got so much going on. I love it.
I could keep talking, but, you know, you've got other people to talk to. Although I could lock the door here. And
you could. Ooh, I like that. A takeover.
Nice.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget about Perseverance, too. I'm also involved in the God of Garnage. Well, I kind of was. I mean, I set up the lighting, but you should go see it. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard great things about it. If I ever get a chance, I'm going to go.
Yeah, if you could ever take a break from some rehearsal.
Right. Yeah.
Well, cool. Thank you so much, Todd. It's always awesome to hear what you're up to, bringing kind of music to the people here of Juneau.
Right. Thanks, Shona.
Yeah, thank you. And we're going to hear just one more tune here from Hot Club of Cowtown.
I got to thinking it over, and the road to the river is a mighty long way. Now it could be the season, no rhyme or no reason, just taking it easy. It's my lazy day. Never mind calling, 'cause I ain't a coming. Just get your own by me, keep out of my way. Just a little hard thinking might drive me to drinking. Just taking it easy, it's my lazy day.
And that's a little bit from Hot Club of Cowtown. You can check them out on Sunday. And in the studio with me, we have Mike Christensen and Bill Merck talking about Wishkana Day. How about that?
Very good.
The
Very
poetry
good.
Slam happening on Friday night. Welcome, guys.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for coming. So the poetry slam, can you tell us just a little bit about, actually, how about first where it is tomorrow?
Well, it's going to be at the Silver Bow.
Okay.
And it's split into two parts, where we have the open mic where you can come and do a puppet show or read a poem if you don't want to compete, those kind of things. And then we have the competitive part, which is the second part for the slam, where you're judged by the audience. We pick judges from the audience and they hold up cards, and that qualifies the winner to compete in the Grand Slam, which is next month.
That's right, and that'll be at the Jack.
The Grand Slam is already coming up next month.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
It's October
again. It's been a year already, right.
Wow. And so are you a poet? Do you read poetry? Are you a slammer yourself?
I don't slam competitively. I did for a while, but I just don't anymore. But, yeah, I write. Michael writes. We've been writing for a long time. I'm fortunate to be one of the hosts tomorrow night, so I'm looking forward to that. I'll be hosting with Colin Calk, who's another local poet. So we'll be up there, and like Mike says, we'll be having sign-ups about 6. We'll start the open mic at 6:30. Do anything you want, juggle, hula hoop, whatever. We've had stand-up. I think we had some stand-up done once, right?
Although it's hard to tell my poetry from my stand-up.
This is true.
It's a thin line.
It is true. That is a true story. So we'll be doing that, and then we'll take a break between the open mic and the slam. Take a 5-10 minute break, get our judges, go into the competitive side of it, 3 rounds. winter, like Mike says, joins all the last winners between last November and now, and they all compete next month at the Jack. So really That's looking forward to that as well.
Great. So who are some of the people that are already qualified for the Grand Slam?
Michael would be one.
Cool.
I am.
Yours truly.
Jackie Boucher, I believe, is one. We have, I want to say, six or seven folks.
Yeah.
And we'll have a couple of stand-ins, too. And then there'll be a couple of opening acts as well. Poets who aren't going to be competing, haven't won, but have played a significant role in the evolution of what Wish Canada is trying to do in the community. So.
Great. So, Mike, what kind of, you said your poetry is kind of like your stand-up, so you write some funny stuff?
Sometimes intentionally, sometimes not. You only have 3 minutes. If you go over 3 minutes, you get points knocked off. So some of my poems are actually probably in the 4.5 minute range. So I talk very quickly. I try and give value. I bring value by putting as many words as fast as possible out there, and which doesn't always make every nuance discernible, but it's fun and it's exciting.
Mike's work I always find fascinating. It kind of wears me out at the end. It's like if you take Rambo and mix it with Dr. Seuss and you kind of jumble that all together and throw a little Kerouac in there, that's kind of what you're going to get.
Rambo and Dr. Seuss.
It's very fascinating.
Mm-hmm. So can you tell us a little bit about just how this poetry Slam, you know, poetry slams have existed for a while all over the country, but, you know, fairly new-ish, a couple of years now, maybe?
2010,
so 3 years. Could you tell us a little bit about the history of the poetry slam here?
The parents, shall we say, of the group are Christy Erickson and a gentleman named Nahan, who has moved down to Ketchikan. A lot of the community is familiar with him. Christy and he used to get together trying to build a forum for people to come forward, build their self-confidence, develop their speaking skills, show off their art. It's really a way of empowering the community, bringing people together. So that's how it started. We used to get together at the Canvas in the beginning, and pretty soon we outgrew that venue. A couple of times probably where the fire marshal wasn't real happy with us. But so we moved to different venues now every month. We started in the Canvas. Now we go... We've been Thunder Mountain High School. We've done a slam in a fire hall out at Auk Bay. We've been all over. So.
We are now a peripatetic slam. So we go to a new location every month, and we're downtown this month.
That's really cool.
And and we've been out at UAS. Right. It helps with getting people going different places. Oh, that's...
So we're a nonprofit, so we're always trying to get more of the community involved. We do this because we enjoy it, and it's really it's empowering for us as well. But we really couldn't do this if we didn't have the support of the community. So we really encourage people to come out, support the venues, support the poets. You won't be disappointed.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, guys. And you can check that out tomorrow. What time does it start?
Sign-ups are at 6. Open mic at 6:30, right?
And yeah, they usually fill up very quickly. So it's not a Juno 6. It's an actual 6.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have the sign-up sheets out at 6, and they usually fill up in about 45 seconds. So be there early. The first 8 people in each group, that's all we can take. So we'll go from there.
Sounds great. Yeah, well, that's at the Silver Bow.
Hope to see you there.
Yeah, well, great. Thanks so much, guys, for coming to talk to us.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And that's a little Blackalicious there for you, which actually, got a lot of their start there with the Poetry Slam happening tomorrow night Friday, cool. Yeah. Hey, Nancy DeCherney.
Hey, how are you?
Here with Arts Up. I'm well. How are you?
You know, it's wet out there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're back to normal.
Yes, it looked like fall downtown. There's leaves on the ground. Okay, so it's a busy weekend. I'm just calling it a whirlwind weekend because we got a lot. We have the Gold Town's running some really nice films. So if you just want to be indoors and quiet and watch some films, there's a comedy and some drama and this and that. They're at 4 o'clock tonight today. Like in a few minutes, there is the Early Learning Carnival over at Harborview Elementary. This is free for families with children from pre-K to 5.
Oh, that's
and all
fun.
Sorts of little activities and things the kids get to do and whatnot. So Harborview, head over there. 5:30, it is the third Thursday family night at the Valley Library. I don't know what they have planned, but it's always fun. That's also free. The God of Carnage, very funny.
Good. We're thankful for that.
Yes.
It's a pay-as-you-can tonight.
It's a pay-as-you-can tonight, and I just really recommend this. If you just need you want to sit in your chair and chuckle out loud with other people, this is a thing for you. It's a bunch of adults just getting really naughty and downhill. I mean, just back to the playground.
Yeah.
So, which is really not funny, but they do it in a funny way. Okay, so you got a little while to see that, but as always, do not put these things off. If you find yourself with a moment, go, and tonight's pay as you can. So, hey. Look, we've got the organ concerts up at the State Office Building, of course, at noon tomorrow. The Canvas Movie Night, they're showing Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade at
they
the
are?
Canvas at 6 p.m., and it's free! Friday night. Aha. Uh-huh. But 6:30, you were just talking about the Poetry Slam, right? And
mm-hmm.
So everybody knows this is their last chance to qualify for the Grand Slam. It's at the Silver Bow. It's free, blah, blah, blah. Okay, and it's also at 7 o'clock evenings at Egan. The Alaska Native Land Claims Settlement Act and Sea Alaska Lands Legislation. This should be a really exciting, interesting topic out at the Egan Lecture Hall, and that is for free at 7 o'clock. At 8 p.m., we have the Boston Brass and Enso String Quartet. Okay, these people are amazing. I have been listening to them rehearse over at the high school all day.
Really?
I have really, really, really good. If you like, they're playing both sort of like Prokofiev ballet, the Romeo and Juliet ballet, so that, there's that kind of music, but they're also doing West Side Story and an Elvis Costello piece. And I just, Ed Littlefield, who you know is a local, everybody loves Ed as a percussionist, and he's playing with them.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. Yeah, they needed an extra percussionist, and we brought in Ed, and it turns out that he has played with one of them in the Dallas Brass. But anyway, he said this is top of the line for the country.
Yeah.
So don't miss this.
That's tomorrow night at 8 p.m.
Yes.
At JDHS.
Yes. And what I want to say also is we have a friend who's a host of an exchange student who he's from Taiwan, doesn't speak English all that well, brought his saxophone when he came, and she said, would you like to go to this concert? And he said, absolutely. So we're going to offer a special for exchange students, host families. If you have an exchange student, the student comes for free. So please think about that. Music is the universal language, so even if you can't understand what everybody's talking about, you can hear the music. So think about that. There's Scorcher at the Alaskan. This is DJ Dr. DJ and DJ Taco Todd. That's at 10 p.m.
I have to say I ran into a Scorcher. I went to a Scorcher night and some killer tunes. That was pretty cool. So you could hit some brass and then you could go
out.
Yeah.
And keep going.
Dance it off.
Yeah. On Saturday, there is a beginning wheel throwing class at the Canvas. There's the Kappa at noon, the Capital City High School Cross Country Meet and Potluck at the Sandy Beach. It looks like a wonderful day for that. there's a Park Shore Clubhouse Super Saturday Sale at the Park Shore Clubhouse. I think it's a garage sale or something. At 1 p.m., I Am Juno Dance Fest 13. This is an all-ages dance celebration featuring various cultural dances and performances.
Cool.
That's at the Jack, and I think it might be free. At 7:30, there is a New England barn dance. A lot of dancing. That's great. Love it. And, of course, God of Carnage is running. Sunday we have the ukulele jam up at Rockwell at 11 a.m. At 1 to 4 p.m., Janice Holst, who is retiring after years of teaching in this community, she's having a retirement sale of costumes, fabrics, all the stuff. It's out at Mendenhall Mall from 1 till 4. And at 7:30, go dancing again because it is Hot Club of Cowtown. Everybody loves them. They're over at Centennial Hall. Tickets are in all the usual places. Let's see. We want to talk about Sketch Studio, who's opening up a lot of classes. This is M.K. McNaughton's studio. She has, starting on Monday at 5:30, drawing and oil painting. It's a six-week class. We have the contact information on our website if you want to go to the calendar. Also at 6 p.m., they're doing Clinket beadwork class at the Canvas, and that's a three-week class. And you could go there. There's an advisory board about fish and game on at 6 p.m. on Monday. Let's see, Astronaut Humor and the Stars Tonight. The Marie Drake Planetarium folks are out there telling silly jokes.
Really? It's really astronaut humor for a night?
Yes, yes it is.
Oh, that's
6:30
appetizing.
On Tuesdays, and it's free. And
okay.
The Planetarium is a fun place to go. on Wednesday, if you're interested in meeting one of the candidates, Kate Troll is having an ice cream social at 4:30 on Wednesday at the Jack in the Gallery. There is, let's see, the other class that I want to mention that MK is doing is Adults Invent Art class, and that's a Sketch Studio that's class going on for 4 weeks that starts on Wednesday as
Wait,
well.
Adults what?
Well, it's called Adults Invent Art.
Oh, Invent Art. Interesting.
Yeah.
So.
What does that mean?
Hmm.
And there's also at 7 p.m. Wildlife Wednesday, Natural Connections in Alaska by Bob Armstrong and Mary Wilson. Mary writes in the paper a lot. At 7:30, there's Drag Queen Bingo and Karaoke at the Rendezvous.
No, there's not.
There is.
When?
Well, it says here that it's at 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday.
And it... Bingo.
Don't ask me. I'm just reading the paper. Here, you could call 500-4324 and get more information. Now, Thursday is a no class day. It's a teacher in service.
Mm-hmm.
So be prepared for that. Sometimes that used to catch me by surprise. At 6 p.m. on Thursday, there's a TEDx class at the on Education Downtown Library. That's for free. And we can talk about the rest of it next week.
That sounds cool. And also for the Thursday, Friday, I think Friday it's Friday and in service as well, maybe it is. But the Discovery Southeast is offering a bunch of classes for young people, actually, to get
Wonderful.
Out and do some hiking and, you know.
In the weather. Dress
yeah.
for the weather, not
yeah.
the vehicle, as my father would say.
I love that.
Yes.
That's totally perfect.
Used to make me mad.
That's funny, because I always say fashion first.
Yes, well... Yes, well, then you came from a different area than I did, I believe. Yes,
yeah.
There's no such thing as bad weather, just bad gear. That's the other one.
Exactly. So Hot Club, well, let's see, the brass band is actually,
mm-hmm.
Can you tell me the name of them one more time?
The Boston Brass, and they are performing with a string quartet called the Enso String Quartet, a young string quartet from Toronto. And like I said, it's just like sometimes when you hear something, it's like those people are good. And that is exactly what happened today. The high school band kids were in listening and it was just very, very exciting. I think we are really, really lucky. We're only able to bring this group because the National Endowment for the Arts gave us a special grant in celebration of our 40th anniversary. Otherwise, we would not have been able to afford this group. So I really encourage people to please, you know, this is a great opportunity, Juno. Don't miss it.
Yeah,
kind of
just to see some wonderful top of the line musicians.
Yeah. Oh, I want to mention Music on the Fly is not this Sunday. It'll start up again in October. We're going to do once a month. So the next one will be October 20th. It'll be Impassioned Studio, which is flute music. And then in November on the 24th, it'll be Travis Cruteau. And in around Christmas time on the 22nd, it'll be the Juno String Ensembles. But we do still have some slots if people want to sign up for the rest of the year. So give us a call at the Jack. So
great, at the Jack. And then if you do want to check out all these fabulous, because now I need to know about drag queens and bingo. I have to. Where can we find this information, Ms. Nancy?
Yes, www.jahc.org, and you can also look at ktoo.org.
Thank you, Ms. Nancy. Yes, always a pleasure. And Ms. Nancy will be back with us next Thursday, as she is every Thursday, with Arts Up. My name is Shona Strausser. This is Juno Afternoon, Thursday, September 19th. Thanks for tuning in, and have a fabulous day.
Let me say that again, Mr. Speaker, so there's no confusion. People who work but who don't make enough to feed their families will be...